11. Good job, young people. Looking forward to next week with her teen choir and her the teenagers doing all the different things going on in the service. So Psalms chapter number 11 tonight. Psalms chapter number 11 is a psalm that is given to, that David wrote it. We don't know the exact circumstances because it's not told us. I believe it has to do because it talks about fleeing. I believe this is a psalm that is written about when he is actually fleeing from Absalom, the son, after Absalom has taken over the kingdom for a short period of time. It's got some familiar verses in here that I know you'll recognize. And tonight's message title is, Why It Makes Sense to Serve the Lord. Why It Makes Sense to Serve the Lord. I know there is a day and time that we live in that there are people who says that it's foolish to serve God, foolish to believe in the Bible and the Word of God, foolish to live according to biblical doctrines and biblical principles. But as I consider and as I think and as I reason and as I meditate, I think it makes a lot of sense to serve the Lord. Here in Psalms chapter number 11, let's go ahead and read the whole chapter. It's only seven short verses. It says, In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as the bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. This is the verse I think you would sound familiar. It says, If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Verse number 4, the Bible says, The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstones, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. In this short psalms, it is a psalm that talks about being steadfast. And they got that question in verse number 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, I think it's easy to say that in the day and time that we live in, there's people who are trying to tear down the foundational heritage, at least the Christian foundational heritage that is in our country. And what are we going to do? You know, if the foundations are being destroyed, what is it that we're going to build upon? I think that we want to leave, at least my desire is to leave to our next generation better than we found it. But, you know, as a church, I don't think we're doing that. As the day and time, the wickedness that's happening in the day and time we live at, I don't think we're really doing that. And I think that it's we have to do our part to keep the foundation sure. The Bible says in Jude 3, the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And I think about the faith that was delivered to me. I think about the things I was taught as a young person, the things I was taught as a teenager, the things I learned while in Bible college, and those things that has been handed down to me. And now at the age of 42, I know I don't look a day over 41, but 42, I want to start considering what I am going to leave to that next generation. And what are we leaving for them? I mean, I know in a sense our country is in a mess, but I'm not just talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. What type of heritage are we leaving them? Unfortunately, as we heard Brother Fox talk about that night, he asked the different age groups to stand up, and when we came to the age group of 19 to 32, there was nobody here. And that's heartbreaking. You know, what are we leaving to that generation? And you say, well, Pastor, I think where we are, you know, maybe we're too strict, or maybe we're this, maybe we're that. But I'm wondering, what type of heritage are we leaving? What type of, I want to use the word attitude, or what type of personification, or what type of perception, what type of perspective are we leaving that generation? The scripture that we have, the gospel that we have, the hope that we have. I mean, what is it that we're leaving to the next generation? Because we talk so much about what everything that's wrong, everything that's going haywire. And yes, we need to be concerned with that, but as Christians, you know, are we joyfully serving the Lord? I really think it makes sense to serve God. But have we passed that down to the next generation? Have we given that? I mean, it's great to see those young people sing tonight, isn't it? I mean, it's nice to see somebody serving the Lord. But you know what? That's not the norm. That just really isn't. You're not going to see that young people from the ages that are willing to sing with 7 years old all the way up to 18 years old. You're not going to see that very often. You're not going to, you hear them say, I'm going to sing to the Lord. And, you know, they're going to sing forever. And that's, I mean, it's hopefully that's a truthful testimony about what they're going to do for the Lord. But it makes sense to serve the Lord. We're here on a Sunday night. We agree that. Now, how do we make other people thirsty and help them understand it makes sense? You know, sometimes people are telling you to run away, flee this Christianity, flee the truth. Nobody wants to hear it. Nobody cares about it anymore. But how do we, as believers, help people to understand that it makes sense? We all have loved ones. We all have friends. Some of you, you know, the young people have classmates, just don't get it. They don't understand it. And if they're not a believer and they're not Christians, their minds are unregenerated, and they're not going to get it. But there is people all across this country that says they're Christians and believers that are rejecting it too. So what is it that we tell them? I think here in this story, I think there's a couple of things we need to understand, or in this passage of Scripture. And I want you to understand why I think it makes sense to serve the Lord. And then I'm going to finish with this 2 points. First is why it makes sense to serve the Lord. And the second point is why I love to serve the Lord. And as we understand some of the good reasons and the good side of things, maybe we can express this to people. Maybe once again we rededicated our lives and our hearts to serving God and say, you know what, it really, truly is worth it. And it really makes a lot of sense. Let's think here first, why it makes sense to serve the Lord. And you go to verse number 3, and you know, this is a question asked, you know, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Verse number 4 tells us that God is still on the throne. It's, the reason why it makes sense to serve the Lord is because He's the one on the throne, because God is the one on the throne. It says, the Lord is in His holy temple, the Lord's throne is in heaven, the eyes behold, His eyelids try, the children of men. He said, why in the world would it make sense to serve God? It's because He is the one in control. He's the one on the throne. It doesn't matter who is in the White House. It doesn't matter who is in Syria, who is in Russia. It doesn't matter with all the other things that are going on with the terrorist groups. You know, who are you going to serve? Who are you going to serve? The one that's in charge. Serve the one that's on the throne. Serve the one who it says here that is it says in verse number 5, the Lord trieth the righteous. Verse number 4, it says, the Lord's throne is in heaven. You know, it is He is in His holy temple. And this is the point, is that He is the one that is still on the throne. And to me, it doesn't make sense to serve this world that's not going to give you anything out of it, that's not going to give you anything but heartache, and it's going to nothing but produce shame and guilt in your life, and unhappiness and unsatisfied living. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any, you know, over here you got God who says, hey, my burden is light, my yoke is easy. But over here you got a world that's going to say, man, I'm going to pile the burdens on top of you. I'm going to make you work harder and make you work harder. Shouldn't we want to serve the one that's on the throne? Shouldn't we want to serve the one that is in control of all things? Shouldn't we be the one that, you know, He's never going to get off that throne? If we have the proper vision of God, I tell you, it makes sense to serve the Lord. You know, people have addiction problems. And I'm not just talking about drugs and drinking. People are addicted to watching the wrong things. People are addicted to listening to the wrong music. People are addicted to their thoughts. People are addicted to relationships that they shouldn't have. You know, why are we serving those things? The Bible says that we are servants of sin if we choose to live after what the devil tells us to do. You know, it makes sense to serve God. It makes sense to say, I know whose side I'm on. I'm on the winning side. And I know God's supreme. He's sitting up there on that throne. And it makes a whole lot more sense to serve Him than serving myself. Where's serving self going to get us? And there is pleasure in sin, and with sin for a season. The misery that comes with it afterwards, the guilty conscience, the unableness to really try to find hope and peace and rest in your life? It doesn't make any sense. It makes a lot of sense to serve the Lord. Number one, because God is on the throne. Number two is because God will judge those who are wicked. God will judge those who reject Him. Look what it says in verses 5 and 6. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Now listen to what it says. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. You know, it makes a lot of sense to serve the Lord because of the rewards you're going to receive, because of the goodness you're going to have. But you know, it makes a lot of sense to serve the Lord instead of rejecting Him, because it's not going to turn out good for them. You know, some people say, oh, you should be worried about what's going to happen to you in this life and in this world. No one's going to like you. There's going to reject you, this and that. You know, what's going to happen to the wicked? It says it right here. If people are going to reject the Lord, it doesn't sound very pretty for them. You know, the Lord trieth the righteous, yes, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked shall he rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Does it make any sense to serve that? It doesn't. You say, you listen to people and we want to turn their hearts away from the wickedness because of the fact that we know what their end's going to be like. So we talked about this story this morning, Judas, when he talked about, he said it'd be better for that man if he had never been born. And it'd be better for someone to, if they're going to reject Christ, to never have ever existed, than to live and reject Christ and spend eternity in a place called hell. We know what's going to happen to the wicked. It makes sense for us to serve God. It makes sense for us to serve the Lord because we know what's going to happen to the wicked. It should break our hearts. It should say, what are we leaving to that next generation? We need to be honest with them. We're concerned for their soul because we know what happens to the wicked in the end. We know what happens to them, and we need to leave that to that next generation. The third thing is, why it makes sense to serve the Lord is because God is on the side of those who love Him. You know, you see the punishment, and you see what's going to happen to the wicked, but then you consider the blessings of what God's going to do to those that love Him. Look what it says in verse number 7. It says, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. We have a wonderful heritage. We have a heritage to uphold, and we need to give to the next generation. And we need to tell them, look, the Lord's pleased with those that do right. As we looked at this morning, you know, obedience equals blessing. Disobedience equals curse. So why does it make sense to serve the Lord? Me, it's pretty easy. I know our flesh tries to pull us and take us one way. But where does the wicked end up? Where does it, when we reject God, where do we end up? It makes a lot more sense to serve God, doesn't it? And in this passage of Scripture, it says, look, if the foundations be destroyed, what are you supposed to do? I think you're supposed to look to God. You're supposed to remember that those who are destroying the foundations, those who are trying to get away from God, God will judge them someday. But I'm going to serve Him because of the fact that He's pleased with it and He can bless me. But see, not only does it make sense, but I'd like to think for a few minutes about some things why we love to serve the Lord. And to be honest with you, serving the Lord is not always easy. The Bible says about Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. And you know what? That's exactly what it is. It's work. To be the pastor that God's called a man to do, it is not a one day a week job. It is something that is much more than that. But I'm not just talking about me. And I know that the number of hours that people put in at their work and put in with their family and put in here in the ministry, sometimes it's inspiring. But there is work that goes on with serving the Lord. You think about it. As an individual, sometimes you prepare lessons. And you think about it. You love. You pray. You carry other people's burdens. There's an intense spiritual warfare. And there are things that we had to face, and it is a great work when we serve the Lord. And some people say, why in the world do you do that? Why in the world would you want to care about anybody else or anybody else's burdens? Why in the world would you want to teach a bunch of kids that you don't even know and they're not even related to you? Why would you want to go pick someone up? Why would you want to go help somebody else? That is work. Why would you want to teach somebody old book? There's work that's involved with it. And there's many people who are going to say, it's just not worth it. I don't want to hear it. Why are you wasting your time with all these things? No, not only does it make sense, there's some really great reasons to serve the Lord. Here's a couple of these. Number one is, I love serving the Lord because I love seeing souls saved. I don't know what other greater privilege we have. I don't know what other greater joy that we have than to hear someone becoming a Christian. To take someone who was lost and dying and on their way to hell, and then to have a part, whether it be yourself or inside of a ministry, that's going to say, okay, you know what? I'm no longer that way. To think about the wonderful things, and we talked about it in Sunday school class a little bit, about all the blessings, all the great things that goes along with being a Christian. I'm on my way to heaven. I have hope now. And yesterday with the teenagers, I was talking to them a little bit about being saved. And I asked them, what happens when your life has been changed? When he says, what happens when my life's been changed? There's something different that happened to me when we became a Christian. And they said some different things. Some of them were kind of funny. Some were good. You know, one person said, you know, you get the Holy Spirit of God. Another person says you're not going to sin as much as you used to. One of them said you have hope. And you know, there's so much that happens when you get saved. And you think about all the wonderful things that happened to you. And one of the greatest joys in serving the Lord, and one of the reasons why I love serving the Lord, is because we had the opportunity to see people saved, whether young or old. I tell you, that's what we need to leave to the next generation. We need not just be grudging it. We not need to turn around and say, well, I don't see why they do this. I don't see why they give. I don't see why people sing. We don't need to leave some type of bad attitude with the next generation, because you know what that's going to do? It's going to push people right away. And I'm not talking about fake. I'm not talking about being genuine. I want to be genuine and I want to be honest. One of the greatest joys that can happen in your life is when you have the opportunity to lead someone to Christ. There are some things that there's nothing greater besides you yourself becoming a Christian than having the opportunity to snatch someone out of hell and lead them to Christ. That's the reason why it's worth serving the Lord. Some people aren't excited about that. You wonder why? It's because they've never helped somebody. And I tell you, one of the reasons why I love serving the Lord is because I love seeing souls saved. Another thing is, I love seeing lives change. There's work, there's effort, there's long hours. There's long hours in working in sermon preparation. There's long hours in counseling. But there's long hours in discipleship. There's long hours with becoming friends with someone. But to watch the power of the Bible to change a life and to conform a person that used to be wicked, used to be evil, used to only love themselves, only used to love the things of only the things that made them happy, and to turn around and watch them change and become someone who loves the Lord and loves kids and loves the older people and loves their Christian family. There is that. I mean, isn't that worth serving the Lord over? See, that's what we need to explain to the people. They used to be like this. They maybe used to be a drunk, or they used to be a drug addict, or they used to always be angry. They used to not be able to talk to people. But then Jesus Christ came into their heart and their life, and there was a change. And then after that happened, you saw a periodic change to happen. And then over here, you now have someone's life that's completely changed. You know, this is what we like about serving God. You know, this is what we need to pass on, is that God can make a change in your life if you let Him. God doesn't want us to stay at a certain spot and be only a certain babe in Christ our whole entire lives. He wants us to take those old, rotten, wicked things and be turned in. And as you grow in the Lord and you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, you can become a whole new creature. You know, that's another reason to serve the Lord. You remember that story, and you use instances. You think about the story about John Newton, the guy who wrote Amazing Grace. You know, he was a slave trader. He went in, he did so many wicked things, he'd tell you. And then God got a hold of his heart, and he became a preacher, and he wrote the song Amazing Grace. And on his tombstone, it talks about the great change that happened in his life. This is why it's worth serving the Lord. But it's not just worth it. It's actually fun. It's actually, you can love serving the Lord because you see people. And as I look across the crowd, and I see people who said, you know what, I used to do this. I used to act this way. I used to, and I said, really? I would never know it now because God made a change in your life. And I remember hearing Brother Barnhouse when he came and a couple years ago, and he walked up and he says, man, I can't believe that person serving the Lord. They weren't even coming to church. I can't believe that person, you know, actually has a position or does something. You know, we didn't think they were ever going to stick around. I'm glad that person got saved. And it's nice to see. And that's, you know what? That's what makes it joyful for serving the Lord. That's, you know, that's, it makes it worth it. All the hours and time and the interest you put in there. You see a life that has been changed. And you know what? You say, well, Pastor, we don't see enough lives change. It's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. Are we the ones saying to the next generation, we can serve the Lord? My life has been changed. I used to do this. No longer do I struggle with this because God helped me personally. And then you can look at other people. Because most of these young people today aren't struggling with alcohol and drugs. They're struggling with some of the same things we struggle with. And we say, you know what? I used to be the same way. God helped me and God changed me. And you know what? That's one of the great things about serving God. It's one of the reasons why I love serving the Lord. That's one of the reasons why it's a privilege, because I see people saved and I see people's lives changed. Next thing is, it kind of goes along with the same thing, is I love seeing fruit that remains. You know, it's nice to see people who didn't used to be involved and didn't used to do anything, but they sing in the choir now. It's not just people who are saved and you wonder if they really truly got it because they've never come back. But I'm talking about people who allow God to work in their heart, and work in their lives, and work in their mind, and they have now had the opportunity to be the person now that's trying to disciple somebody else, a person now that is trying to win someone to Christ, a person now that's actually inside the a soul-winning program or singing in the choir. So all those different things. It's nice to see fruit that remains. And, you know, another thing is I love serving God's people too. You gotta think about it. God's people is just wonderful to serve. So it's just, let's think about it. Sometimes they do things that make us laugh, but you know, that it's nice. But you think about it, who is better to serve than these people? I mean, you think about it. God's people, people who God loves, people who God saved. What better thing to do? You think about it. One of the reasons why I love serving the Lord is because I get the chance to, even though sometimes it might seem like it's unseen, but you get the chance to be around some of the greatest people in the world. These are God's children. These are people we should want to take care of. These are people that we should want to love. And these are people that we had the opportunity, not just an opportunity, not just we're supposed to, it is a privilege to be able to serve the Lord. You know what, when we try to impress this upon next generation and even any generation, it's not just a job. It's just not a chore to serve. It's not just labor. It's not work. It's actually a privilege. And one of the reasons why I love to do it is because the people we get to work with, the people we get to serve, the people we get to know. You know, is that something we're passing along? I mean, and I know some people are grudgingly saying, oh, we got to go to church or we got to do this or we got to do. No. It is a privilege and an honor. And I love serving the Lord because of the people I get to work with. I think we got some of the greatest people in all the world in this church. I really honestly do. And I tell people, I says, look, we're not perfect. Sometimes we do silly things. Sometimes people have different personality things that they're, hopefully, that they're working on. But, you know, God gives me a privilege to work with people whose lives have been changed, who they're continuing changing. We see the fruit that remains, and now we get the chance to serve these people. Another thing that I love about serving the Lord is we get the chance to equip others, As a pastor, it's not just my job to preach alone, but I get a chance to equip the church family to do the work of the ministry. That's just not me. God's intention is for us to be able to equip others to be able to serve the Lord too. You know, someone came and picked my son up today for nursing home ministry. You know, they were equipping him to get there and to be able to serve. Someone else did something else with my child today, and they're trying to leave the other child of mine, they're trying to leave an influence there. When we pick people up, or when we have visitation times, or when we give opportunities like singing, we are equipping people, giving them opportunity. Why do we have Sunday school classes? Why do we have spots where people can serve? We're equipping them to be able to serve the Lord. And it's just not that. The Holy Spirit of God, we love to see God's grace at work in other people's lives. We see them mature spiritually. We see them begin to lead others. We see them bring people to church. We see them use their spiritual gifts and serving your church family. And there's really no greater joy than to watch someone who used to not want to do anything or used to not really even listen when the preaching was going on and just wanted to get out of church. But now they have a joy and they've been equipped and they don't want to leave church. They want you to keep on preaching. They want you to keep on serving. They want to have more opportunities. That's a joy. And this is something that this is what makes it fun. And you say, it makes sense if we can serve the Lord and we can see people's lives get saved and their lives change and they stay and you watch them grow. You watch them raise their family and they equipped and they're equipped to serve. And you know, another reason why we love to serve is because the people that came before us passed down a heritage to us. I don't know about you, but I love reading about, I'm not a great reader at all, but I love reading biographies about the men and women that went before us, that passed down a generation, and even not even then, but the people we know personally. Maybe it's a father, a grandfather. Or maybe a mother. In my case, my mom was probably the greatest influence in my life as a child. And a spiritual influence that was passed down. And I have youth pastors and I had junior church teachers and I had people that gave me a heritage that people came and gave them a heritage and the people before them gave them a heritage. And one of the reasons why I love serving the Lord is because I'm able to enter in that same work. The people that I looked up to. The same work that Paul was doing and the same work that Barnabas was doing and the same work that the Peter was doing. I'm able to enter into that same work and do the same heritage as I pass that down to somebody else. I don't know about you, but that's exciting to me. I have something to give to that generation, that next generation that, you know, nothing this world can. And I know that we like to teach them to do physical things. And I think that's good to help them learn how to fix a car, shoot a gun, cook a meal, to how to sew, or how to whatever it is that you can help them with. Teach how to shoot a basketball. We love to leave those things. But think about the things that matter most to you today. Or what should matter most to you? It's a joy to serve God so we can pass these things down. But we can't do it in the wrong way. We got to somehow figure out the way to make someone thirsty. We have to somehow figure out a way to say, you know what? There is a joy in serving God. You know, there's no greater joy than to see that my children walk in truth. And there's no greater joy to see people saved and that they grow and they grow closer to God. You see God use them. And I think of some that grew up in our church that are now serving the Lord in different spots. And there's a great joy for that. There's some people who I personally had an impact and a chance to make a difference. And I love that. There's nothing greater than that. And we are hoping for that in the future. We're praying for that in the future, too. Also, you think about another reason why I think serving the Lord is great is because I am fulfilling God's call for my life. I don't know about you, but there was a time in my life when I was doing what I wanted to. At an age of 13 or 14, I knew that God would call me to preach somewhere between 12 and 14. I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want. I'll preach. But many years, I went and did what I wanted to. And, you know, at 25, God came and got a hold of my heart and said, either you do it now or you're never going to do it. And I determined in my heart somewhere between 25 and 28 and says, I do not want to spend the rest of my life not doing what God called me to do. And I'm not saying this just as a preacher. God has a certain purpose for each and every one of us. And when you are serving the Lord, you are fulfilling that purpose. When you're not serving the Lord, you know what? You feel guilt. And if you say, well, I don't feel any guilt by not serving God, it's because we've quenched the spirit, we've pushed it so far down, and that no matter, somebody's going to have to take a load of bricks and drop it on us before anything ever changes us. But you've done what God's called you to do. And serving the Lord, whether it's as a wife or as a husband or as parents or as children, whatever it is, as a Sunday school teacher, a junior church teacher, whether it be in your certain profession, you know, God's got a calling on your life. And that calling is to become to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. And you've entered into something that is greater than anything else. that you could ever do with your life is serve him. See, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. God doesn't call the qualified. He says, I want you to come as you are, and I will qualify you as you follow after me. And so this is important to understand. This is great. Serving the Lord means that you don't have to regret the things that you've done. You don't have to say, boy, I wish I didn't waste that year of my life, or I wish I didn't waste those 10 years of my life. If you're actively serving the Lord, you know, you're always going to have that desire to want to do more. You're going to always have that desire that you want God to use you and that you be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. But you'll have a peace in knowing that you did not waste so many years of your life. I don't know about you, if I ask you to raise your hands, I bet you many of us will raise our hands and say, I wish I did not waste those years of my life. I could have done something more. But when you serve the Lord, you know what? That's not there. Another reason why I love serving the Lord is because I love the Word of God. I love the Bible. You think about this just simple passage tonight. You know, if the foundations be destroyed, what are we going to do? We're going to look to God. We're going to remember that the wicked are going to be punished. And we're going to remember that God's going to show his blessings to the righteous. We're going to believe that. And we're going to believe the Bible. We're going to believe the Word of God. When we serve the Lord, we have a love for his Word. You know, it's a privilege to hold the Word of God. And, you know, we try to get our kids to memorize verses. And some of them do. That's great. And we try to get God's Word in their hearts, and we sometimes they reward them different ways. And some people are like, oh, you keep points, or you give this, or that. No. We're trying to help them to understand this is God's Word. It needs to go in our heart because of the change it makes in their heart. It talks about if we hide His Word in His heart, we're not going to sin against Him. And, you know, we have the opportunity to learn about Him. We have His Word. Last but not least, another reason why I love serving the Lord is because I love God. All those other things are important. It's great to see people saved. It's great to see people's lives change. It's great to have that change happen to yourself and that you see fruit that remains. We've been here for, I guess it's been 12 years, 13 years, 12 and a half years almost now. And it's nice to see. I remember some of those guys when they were little. Of course, my boys. I remember Christian Bateman when he was little. Running around. I remember Marcus and Brandon when they came, and I remember some of them were really tiny. I remember kids that used to be shorter than me, and they're taller than me now. I remember people I used to be skinnier than, and now I'm bigger than they are. So, I mean, it's great to see. And I told the young people, and when I was a youth pastor, I don't plan on going anywhere. I like to see you someday. I plan on, like to watch you graduate. And, Candace Cook wrote me a letter when she was graduating in Pennsylvania. She says, Pastor, I remember you telling me you're going to come watch our graduations. Well, mine's in Pennsylvania, and gave me the date. And I told her, I says, I can't come to Pennsylvania, but if you want to come down here, I'll help you graduate. It's wonderful to be able to serve and to watch people grow and watch people learn. And, you know, people that God allows them to use and to change. And I've seen it happen in so many of their lives. That there's a sweeter spirit that was not here. There was a sweeter thought in your heart and mind. You had a great desire and you want to serve the Lord. And we watch each other grow and each of us learn, each of us expand out. Those are great things. To watch next week when you get to watch the teenagers participate and do these things, you know, we're thankful for that. We get a kick out of it when we see the kids sing. Not just because they sound good. We like that because we see them growing and wanting to serve. You know what? That's the joy that comes in serving the Lord. Does it mean that every single person is going to come? No. Our hearts are broken by many people who have gone the other way. Our hearts are broken because of the many people that have not gone the right way. Instead, they've maybe become a little more bitter, a little bit more angry. That's not the people we focus on. That's the people we pray for. And we're reminded by this passage of Scripture. You know, the wicked are going to be punished. It's not our job to worry about that. It's our job to be the righteous and be blessed. And we pray because we know the change God made in our lives is the same change they can make in their lives. And we know that they can turn back. And we know that God can make a difference. And then we see that the labor that those have gone on before us, the heritage of the men and women have passed down to us. I love serving because I want to build upon their heritage. I want to build upon the privilege that God has given me to walk in the same footsteps of great men of the Bible. And great men and Christians of the faith that has the same heritage that we have and we have now to pass down to others. But we come down to this last spot. I love serving because I love God. if we have the proper vision of God and the right love of God, all the joys of laboring together with God, there's no greater motivation than loving the Lord. You think about the story when Jacob talked about when he served those 7 years for Rachel. He says it didn't seem like it was a whole day. The love was so great for them, it acted like there was, didn't take any time at all. When we say 7 years for one girl, boy, we'd probably go try to find another girl and try to make it 3 years. You know, we wouldn't want to put in the effort. But if we love the Lord, everything outweighs that. It's going to be a joy to serve if we have the right love for it. Now, is it easy to get tired? Yes. Is it easy to get frustrated with young people? Yes. Is it easy to get frustrated with older people? Yes. Is it easy to want to throw in the towel? I don't know about that. But at the same time, if our love for Christ is renewed day by day by day, it's not going to seem like it's work. I tell people all the time, I love what I do. I truly do. And I don't tell them I love everything I do, because there are some things I wish we didn't have to do. Some things are necessary in order to help people see their need. But no one really likes, well, no normal person really likes confrontation and correcting people. You do it out of a love and spirit to try to help restore people. But I love serving the people. I love seeing people grow. I love seeing people saved. I love seeing the church filled. Is that because I want that? No, it's because I want to bring glory to God. Do we get tired? Not just me, because this sermon isn't just the reason why I serve the Lord. These are reasons why we should all get excited about serving the Lord and say, hey, I want to serve the Lord because of the fact that people get saved and there's nothing greater than that. I want to serve the Lord because of the fact that people's lives can be changed, like my life has been changed. I want to serve the Lord because of the heritage that's been passed down to me. I want to earnestly contend for the faith. We earnestly contend for certain things, but do we contend for the faith? I know you come to church and you're here and you're faithful. Praise the Lord for that. But there's more to it than that. It's you learning and you growing and you going out and telling the world about Jesus Christ. You passing down to that next generation. I believe this is important. And I believe this is something we should be doing. And I love serving God. Not fake, but I love serving the Lord because of these reasons. So number one, it makes sense to serve God. I've tried serving myself. It didn't make any sense. I got myself in a mess in some ways. I tried serving the Lord, and as I serve the Lord, I realize something. I actually like doing it. I actually love doing it. I actually enjoy seeing people saved and seeing people grow, seeing fruit that remains and stays. It's great to see young people get older and they have their children. It's great to see people that used to not want to do anything that's willing to help and serve now. It's great to see lives change for the good of God. I'm with some people sometimes, and I watch them pass out a Bible tract, and I know they didn't used to do that. They will be kind to someone that they usually wouldn't talk to before. Why did that do that? God changed them. And that's a great thing of serving God. But the only way that you're ever going to experience those things is when you get spirit-filled and get involved in church. And get involved in serving. And once again, we do it because we love the Bible, but most and more than anything else, we should love serving the Lord because of the fact that we love Him. It always goes back to that heart issue. Do I love Him like I should? Because if I love Him like I should, even though it might be tiring, it's not going to feel like work. I know some of you have ministries that you love doing, and I thank you sometimes for doing them. Privately, I don't thank very many people from the pulpit just because I want them to get their rewards in heaven. But I'll thank somebody and say to them, thank you for working with this group of people. And you know what they tell me many times? It's a privilege. Sometimes they say, oh yes, they're tiring. If you ever hosted a widow ladies luncheon at your house, boy, that can be trying. So you should try being the only man in the house while the widow ladies are there. Woo, the boy, that is very trying, but it's a great time. We love serving them. Why is that? Because they're people who love the Lord, and we enjoy that. Is it tiring sometimes? Yes. I love serving with the kids and the teenagers. Man, they're great. Is it tiring sometimes? Yesterday at the scavenger hunt, was it tiring? Yes. The boys won, just so you know. But at the same time, it helps them and grows, and one that they can have good Christian fun. and they can hear a Bible lesson, and they can practice songs that they're going to sing. You know what? Those are all good things. And I'm in for good things. Because I want to develop an attitude, a persona, a thirst to want to love, serve the Lord. It's not just because we're forced to do something. Because we love Him, and we want to have the opportunity to. It's not because we had to bribe kids to come up to sing. You know, we have to encourage them sometimes. But we want them to sing because they love the Lord, and they realize serving the Lord has its benefits. There's a joy there that's involved in that. There, and it doesn't have to be just singing. There's a joy in serving the Lord. It makes sense to serve God, but there's a joy to serving God too. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.